And let's pray. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us by your word and spirit so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, 10 through 16, and 24 through 29. This is a story that is taking place as the people have left Egypt and they are wandering in the wilderness. So, the rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, all at the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servant so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay down the burden of this people on me? Did I conceive of this people? Did I give birth to them that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a sucking child to the land that you promised on oath to their ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'God, give us meat to eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me.' If this is the way you're going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and then do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people, and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting, and have them take their place there with you." So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other was named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tents, so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to him, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Our psalm lesson today comes from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired they are than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. And our gospel lesson today comes from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Before I read this, I want you just to be aware a little bit of the setting of this passage. As I mentioned before, Jesus had been teaching with his disciples a few things, important things that happened. He had gone up to the mountainside, and there had been the transfiguration where John, James, and Peter had seen him with Elijah and Moses, and they wanted to build a marker there, a kind of little tabernacles there, tents to mark the place. And Jesus said, no, we've got to go. Jesus was teaching them about his coming death and resurrection, and they just were not understanding it. And so where they were, there were children, and Jesus picked up those babies and said, you know, whoever welcomes one such as this child in my name welcomes also me and the one who sent me. And the disciples had been arguing about who was the best disciple and all. And when confronted, they kind of hemmed and hawed. And they were just not getting it. As I said in the children's sermon, their disciples were just struggling to understand what Jesus said. And so then this happens. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." Red flag there. Red flag. But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward." Now I'm going to reread that for you in a way that is more reflective of the original Greek language. It's a little more emphatic, I would say, in the Greek. So this is how it would read. They were not following us. And Jesus said, "Don't stop him, because no one who does a deed of power in my name will soon be able afterwards to speak evil of me, because whoever is not against us is for us, because truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear my name of Christ will not by no means lose the reward." It was a run-on sentence. It was because, don't do that, don't stop them, because you don't get it. All right? He continues on. "If any of you put a stumbling block before these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter the life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire." Salt is good. "But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One commentator points out that when Jesus spoke these words, it nowhere says he put the kids down. So I think it's kind of fun to read that passage thinking of Jesus with a child on his hip, or maybe around his shoulders, or a couple trying to crawl on his back. "Look," he says, "if you put a stumbling block in front of one of these precious children, you might as well just give it up." They simply weren't understanding. They were focusing on so many worldly things, like marking the spot where a great miracle happened so they could come back later and maybe even be famous for having been one of the 3 people who were there. They were focusing on who was the best disciple. They were focusing on hierarchies and things like that. And all Jesus wanted them to understand is that they had a task to do. They had to grasp what he was trying to tell them, and it had to do with not the worldly things that they were talking about, but the spiritual things of following him. There is a wonderful Newhart, Bob Newhart, he just passed away, one of the best comedians to ever live. There's a sketch that he did on television many years ago. And it starts out with him as a psychologist. He's in his office and he's sitting down and he welcomes his next patient who comes in and he introduces, they introduce themselves to each other. It's the first time they've ever met. And he sits her down and he said, well, I want to explain a few things here. He said, I only charge $5 for the first 5 minutes. I have found that it doesn't take much longer usually to get rid of your problems. So it usually only needs about 5 minutes. If it takes less time than that, I charge for the full 5 minutes because I don't make change. And she said, well, that sounds wonderful, a little bit too good to be true. And he said, okay. He said, well, that's the way things go around here. So I'm looking at my watch. Okay, go, he says to the patient. And she says, what do you mean, okay, go? He said, go ahead. Tell me what's on your mind. And she said, oh, you just want me to go? And he just said, yes, just go. Just tell me what's on your mind. So she begins to say, I have a fear of being buried alive in a box. It's been with me since I was old enough to remember. And he looks at her and says, well, has anybody ever tried to bury you alive in a box? And she says, no, but it disrupts my life terribly. I start thinking about it and I get panicked and then I can't go anywhere that's boxy, like an elevator or a tunnel or a house. And he looks at her and says, oh, okay, so what you're saying is you're claustrophobic. Okay, then I'm just going to tell you two words. I think I know what the problem is and the best way for you to overcome it. So, says Dr. Newhart, I'm going to give you some words of advice that I think if you take them into your life, integrate them into your life, that as you leave here and get on with things, that it will make your life much better. And she says, oh, should I write them down? And she said, he says, no, it's just two words. I think you'll get it. He said, are you ready? And she said, yes. And he goes, stop it. She said, what? He said, stop it. Stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box. And she said, well, that's it? That's it? You're just going to tell me to stop it? He said, yes, stop it. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T, stop it. And so she says, you're just telling me that I should stop it. Yes. There you go. Just stop it. I can't tell you how many people come into my office with all these problems, and if they would just stop it, their lives would be better. He said, you're the same way. You don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? It sounds terrifying. So just stop it. She then looks at him and says, but I can't. This fear has been with me since childhood. He said, oh, no. We don't talk about our childhoods here. And then she said, but my mother. Oh, no. We certainly don't go there. Just stop it. Stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box. And she said, okay, I've just got to stop it. I've got to stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box. He said, yeah, see, you got it. And he said, okay, that's 3 minutes, $3, and I don't make change. And she said, well, I've only got a five. I don't make change. And she says, okay, I'll take the extra 2 minutes. I'll do the full 5 minutes. And he said, okay. And she says, well, I've got a couple of other issues I want to talk to you about. And he said, okay. And she goes on to start this list of all of the things that are wrong in her life. And he says, okay. You don't want to be in self-destructive relationships, do you? No. Then stop it. You don't want to wash your hands 10,000 times a day, do you? No. Then stop it. And he just goes on and on like this. And finally she says, I don't like this very much. I don't like what you're telling me. I don't feel like this is good therapy. All you're doing is yelling at me. Stop it. And he sat back in his chair. He said, okay, I get that. Do you think we're moving a little too quickly for you here? And she said, yes, I do. I want us to slow down so I can think about these things. He said, okay. I've got 10 words for you. These you may want to write down. These, I think, will be more beneficial than the ones I gave you before. Are you ready? She looked at him and said, well, yes. She had her pen and paper. He looked at her with all that he could muster and said, stop it or I'm going to bury you alive in a box. Now, that is not good therapy. I would not condone that sort of therapy to, if someone was coming to you for counsel, a friend, I would not follow that model. It works on the comedy stage. But sometimes I think Jesus just looked at his disciples and just wanted to say, stop it! Or I'm going to bury you alive in a box. Stop it. Stop thinking about these things that are, you know, who's going to be first? Look, guys, I'm trying to tell you, tribulation and trial is going to come, and you guys have to be in this together. There's going to be real problems ahead of us. And if you're not together, then you're going to fall apart. If you're only worried about who's the most important disciple among you, then you're in trouble. You don't get it. Just stop it. Stop thinking about those things. They don't count anymore. And if you are jealous about someone else who can heal in my name, by the way, something the disciples struggled with from time to time, if you're jealous that this guy has as much faith as God can give him to heal in my name, you're missing the point. The whole point is for more and more people to have that kind of faith. Don't go stopping it. Stop it! You think people are following us? Stop that thinking right now. You are to follow me. That guy's following me, not us. Stop it! Stop trying to tell me what to do or how to do this. And then he has that child, whether it's on his around his neck, hugging, playing, whatever. And he says, look, if the way we are living out this discipleship, if the way that you are going to live out your discipleship is going to do anything that is going to steal the faith from these children, if you're going to act in a way or say things or do things that is going to keep these children from understanding what it is to be a child of God, there's a problem. Whatever it is in your life that is keeping you from understanding, stop it. Come to a new way of understanding. Hear me when I tell you there is so much more than you are understanding. There is purifying in your spirits that needs to happen. You'll be salted with fire. We purified those things. It's kind of like when Jesus says we're pruning the branches so things can grow. Like the prophet said, the refiner's fire is going to come and we will be burnished to shine so brightly. God's Spirit can come and do those things for us, can peel away those things that keep us from following Christ. And this being salted with fire is the idea that those purifying fires can come and burn those things away. And Jesus is saying, you need to understand that you need that kind of purification. You're not perfect. So just stop it. Stop arguing with each other. Stop arguing with those people out there who are ministering in my name and doing a very fine job about it. Come together in unity. Don't divide yourselves. Set aside those things. Live in peace. Because it's not just about this particular moment. There are generations to come. And what you teach after me needs to be what I taught you, and not filtered through those lenses of selfishness and the hierarchy and wanting to get ahead and wanting to be the best and arguing over who's the most important. Those things don't matter in the kingdom of God. What matters is that God's children need to hear the word, that you need to be unified, that you can set aside your petty disagreements and do the hard work of being my church. Because it's often so much easier for us to argue about the people who aren't doing things right, when reality is, no, they're doing what Christ has called them to do. They see it, they're doing, they heard the word, they're doing it. It's so much easier for us to argue about that and kick them out than it is to make room for them at the table. For us to do the work that we need to do to be able to accept one another when we have different opinions. That's hard work. It's really easy to chatter about them, about those people who aren't one of us. It's so much easier for us to say that we are much wiser and know so much more than those children that are coming to pester Jesus, when the reality is those children understand a lot more about faith because they understand what it is to put their faith in someone on a daily basis that's going to care for them when times are difficult, that are going to minister to their needs, that they're going to love and love deeply. Jesus says they get it. Find a way to do that amongst yourselves. Find a way to rely on me, on God our Father, who loves us that way. Find a way to have that kind of faith in God. Find a way to do discipleship the way I have called you to do discipleship. And stop it with that other stuff. Live together in peace. Because if you can find peace now, you'll be resilient when the tests truly come. I believe that is a lesson, a story, a need for the church in all times and places. For us to remember that these moments are not just about us. It is about our discipleship and following Christ. And sometimes it does take the hard work to come together, to make room at the table, rather than to just argue over who's right and who's doing it wrong. So I pray that we hear these words of Christ today. If we start to get up on our high horse and we come to report that these people are doing it wrong, look at us. We can hear Jesus saying, what? Stop it! Love one another. Be at peace with one another. Do these things, and we will understand what it is to be in the kingdom of heaven. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.